tonight, and I'm excited about every time we get to come to church, because the Word of God is new, it's alive, and it's real. It changed my life, and it's a privilege and truly an honor for me tonight to be able to introduce a guest speaker all the way from Lancaster, Northumberland County, Lancaster County. But he's just a blessing, a beautiful brother, and he's a teacher of the Word, and you're going to be blessed tonight, Brother Ernest Palin.
Praise the Lord. Yeah. All right. Woo. It's good to be here with you. Yeah. Looking out here at the CFC Marines. Amen. The Marines. The ones that come out here on Wednesday night. Y'all are powerful. The one that break ground, goes in first. We're going to talk about some of these tonight. Oh, God is good. Ooh. Y'all going to have bear with me for a minute or two? Lord, I just thank you and praise you, Father. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that lead us, guide us, that direct us. And speak through us, Lord. Show us things to come. Bring things back to our remembrance. Lord, our Father, as I stand here today before your people, Lord, our Father, use me to be the blessing to your people. Now, Holy Spirit, I'm ready to go. You and I, let's go. Amen. Amen. All right. You got my slides up? Okay. This is what I want to talk about today, is how to make a difference in your life and the lives of others. Amen. All right, but before I get started on that, I want to say this. The song, you know, is talking about, you know, well, she didn't sing the song. She made the statement. Where are you? Amen. She made the statement about, you know, going forth in the will of the Lord. She didn't say exactly like that. All right. Revival, amen. Praise the Lord. Revival, all right. I just want to say this. Pastor Chris, Pastor Debbie, they teach us the Word. And I look at it, you know, each time I listen, I say, man, the message is better and better. And then I come back the next meeting, and I say, hey, how can it get any better than what it was before? But it's better, yeah. All right? And all I'm saying is they are sincere in the Lord. They are paying a price. I don't know if y'all recognize it, but I sure do. You can't get up here and feed somebody the Word of God and let the Holy Spirit use you the way he wants to use you without you paying a price. Now, people may look at it from the outside and they say, man, look how great they are. Look what they're doing and so on. But there's a price to be paid. Yes, sir. There's a price to be paid to get to where they are, to be able to do what they're doing. All right? And some of that is on their knees each and every day, in their Word each and every day, and talking to the Lord, listening to him, and then following him. That's a price. But that's all paid. That price is all paid before they get out here. And I feel in my heart and my spirit, Vicki, I believe you're right, we're being prepared for revival. And I was thinking about that as I was preparing for this message here today. And I started to do like Pastor Doug, bring me some props. But I decided I better not bring these props. I was going to bring me some kindling wood. And then I'm going to bring me some big old logs. And then I'm going to talk about the blessings of the Lord. But in order to be a blessing, or to, you got to get on fire for yourself. Yeah. We talk about revival. Let revival start with us. All right, let us be that little kindling that catches on fire for the Lord. And then we go out and start burning. We start burning. Then you start burning. Somebody else start burning. And the other person start burning, then y'all start burning logs. All right, let me explain what I mean by that. There's been revivals before, and there have been changes in your society, in the society. All right? And then there's been revivals before and no change in society. What's the difference? We got to get to the place where we're on fire for the Lord. We ourselves make sure that we are burning, that we are doing what we need to do, that we are living the way we need to live. And then when we get in communication, we're going to talk about that tonight, in communication with the Lord and also build that relationship with God, you'll find yourself doing, what we say, exploits. You'll look back and say, whoa, that was an exploit. But when you were doing it, you didn't think about an exploit. You're just thinking about following the leading of the Holy Spirit. All right, so this is where we are. This is what I think is happening to us. This is what I think Pastor Chris and Pastor Deb is doing. Let us start revival in our own hearts. Once we get a blaze in our own hearts, make sure it's in our homes. Once we get our homes ablaze, then bring it on out. Bring it on out. And when you start bringing it on out, the Holy Spirit leading you, guiding you, and directing you, you start setting other things on fire. All right. But that's not what I came here to talk about. But I felt that in my spirit, and I wanted to share it. All right. Yep. You see, when we start a revival in our own hearts, and we started burning, and we get together here, CFC's army, and you start burning as CFC army, and then you're going outside, and people see you burning, and they're drawn to your flame, they're drawn to your light, and then you get off on them, and you catch them on fire because they done got too close to you. Look, things gonna start happening. CFC is gonna start be on fire and burning, and it's gonna affect all of these areas that is represented in here tonight. Amen. All of it. All right? Because we're going back to homes, to our communities. I'm seeing these things. Wow. We're going back to our homes, back to our communities, and let the Lord use us. Amen. And ain't nothing we're going to have to plan to do. The only thing we plan to do is just be available. And when we become available, the Holy Spirit said, that's exactly what I want. Somebody that's available. Somebody that's pliable. I can say, do this, and they go do it. Somebody say, do that, and they do it. All right? All right. So, how to make a difference in your life and the lives of others. Next frame. Look, you've heard this. This is part of grow. All right? Number one, you say, attend church regularly. You hear. Hear what? Amen. Oh, wow. Hear what? All right. You hear the word. What do you do with the word? You receive the word. Now you can hear the word. Nothing's going to happen in your life. Nor around you. You can hear and receive the word. Nothing's going to happen in your life. Nor anything around you. But what you got to do when you hear, receive, and what? What do you got to do? You got to act on that word. You got to put that word into action. Don't just come to church, hear the word, receive the word, and say, man, did Pastor Chris preach a message today? That was really good. And then you go home and do nothing with it. Let that apply that word to your life. That means many times, Pastor, I understand why he said take notes. Because he wants you to take notes and then take those notes home and study those notes. And see, if I was a school teacher, I'd tell you, go take those notes home and rewrite them. The reason I'd tell you rewrite them, because when you rewrite them, you remember what you rewrite, what you write. All right? But you and then you pull up YouTube and look at it. Listen to it again. Because I guarantee you, when you do that, there's going to be some things that you're going to hear that you didn't hear before. So, all right. So hear, receive, and act. Make it part of your life. Let the word be what you're studying. Let the word be what you learn and what you know to do. Let it become your day-to-day activity. Let it be how you live your life. If we can do that, we're going to have a good life. Now, I didn't say everything's going to be easy. I didn't say that. I said you're going to have a good life. Because as you do the will of God, He will instruct you on how to have victory over trials, tribulations, and circumstances, and so on. All right, so attend church regularly, hear the word, receive the word, and then act on the true word of God. The true word of God. And I'm going to say to the audience out here on YouTube, make sure, when I say true word of God, make sure you are attending a church where the word of God is being preached. Not opinions, not what they think, but what the word says. Make sure you attend that. All right, then that's when you're going to be walking right. All right? Next thing, serve, which causes us to grow spiritually and be a help to others. Serve. I want to say this. This church, when I first came here, I looked around, I looked at the membership and so on. Most of the time you go into a church, you have about 3 to 10% of the membership that's serving. But when I looked at this church, I said, whoa, look like over half of the membership is out here doing something. And, you know, I've seen this. When a pastor has a church where the members are involved, that church grows and is very effective. But I've seen a church also, it was a good church, I mean a Bible-believing church, things happen in there. Miracles happen in there, healings happen in there, people got saved in there, so on. But not that many people were involved in the ministry. So it didn't grow. It didn't grow that much. It just stayed sort of like contained. So serve. And then while you're serving, be obedient to your leadership. Be obedient to your leadership. Because God is holding those leaders accountable. And those leaders are holding you accountable. And when God sees you causing your leader some trouble, He's going to take note of it. Amen. His brother, he knows what he's talking about. Okay, all right. So, serve. Let me say this. I'm going to equate this. If serving will help you to grow, it's just like if you know something, you've learned how to do something, then if you want to do it better, teach it. Teach it. Because you got it, when you're teaching it, you got to be able to answer, explain it to somebody else so they can understand it. You got to be able to answer their questions that they're going to ask so they can understand. All right? So then you end up being better. You know more. You can handle that. You know that, that whatever it is now because you've been teaching it. Somebody can wake you up in the middle of the night, ask you a question about it. You can give them an answer halfway awake. All right? It's become part of you. All right? So serving, that's what that is, you know? All right, so serve, like I said, cause you to grow spiritually and you're being helped to others, all right? Give. I could talk on this all night. Giving, there's some stuff in my heart on this right here. Finance the kingdom of God to win and disciple the people of Christ. You hear? You understand it because Pastor Chris, Pastor Doug, and all the others, Pastor Pamela Joe, so I call her Pastor. You are Pastor in my sight. All right. Minister on this all the time. So you understand this, but I'm going to say this. Give. Sometimes people get a little stingy with the giving, but we all understand not to be stingy because God is trying to help us. All right? I look at it, you know, John 10:10, it says, Jesus speaking, the thief come to kill, steal, and destroy. But what did he come to do? He said, I come to give you life and to give that to you more abundantly. All right? Abundant life. Now, abundant life, we can include a lot of things in abundant life. Abundant health. Abundant prosperity. And prosperity is more than just money. All right? Because what? When we got saved, what do we get saved from? Sin, sickness and disease, and poverty. And poverty. And poverty. You get the relationship? Jesus don't want us in poverty. He don't want us going from hand to mouth. He want us to have an abundant life. He want us to have abundance. And I'm going to get in one specific area that people don't really like. Pastor, what time should I quit? What time am I supposed to quit? 8? Okay, well, I might not finish this. All right. Let me move on then. You know, man. All right, okay. God wants to be able to put things in our hands. Not just for our benefit, but for the benefit of the gospel and others. All right? Yeah. All right. I remember reading a verse a number of times. It says, the man that don't work, don't let him eat. Yeah. All right? Then I kept on reading, and it says, let this man go get a job. And as I read the scripture, I thought it said, let this man go get a job that he may have to have his own. He don't be stealing so on. But one day I was reading that verse, and the Holy Spirit says, read that verse again and pay close attention to what it's saying. It didn't say go get a job that he may have for himself. It said go get a job that he may have to help others. I said, wow. I said, well, okay, Lord. You said that he may have to help others. Well, this man didn't have a job before. He was out here stealing and bumming and whatever else. Now, who's going to help him? That was a dumb question. You know, if he's doing it to do what God's telling him to do, don't you think he's going to take care of him? You know, in the days when the farmer used to use the horse and the mules, do you think that they just worked their mules and didn't give them anything? They fed those mules and horses. They groomed them. They sheltered them properly. Why? So they could get out there and plow those fields again. Amen. All right? God wants us to be a plower of his fields. And he wants us to be in the position to do that. So he says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, running over, shall men give into your bosom. Why? Because as you give and they're giving to you, you're going to do what God's will say, and you're going to give to him. Now, when you give to him, we usually do that through the church. Some people say, don't give that church your money. They're just taking your money and doing whatever else they want to it. Let me say this. When you give, this is the mindset. I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm going to tell you what my mindset is, and it has been this way for years. When I pay my tithes and give my offerings, I'm giving it to God. Right. When that bucket come through, here it is, Lord, I'm giving it to you. Right. Now, the ones that are responsible for that offering and those tithes, God's holding them accountable. I've done my part. Amen. He's holding them accountable for what they're doing with it. And I'm going to say, in here, all you have to do is open up your eyes, and they're being accountable unto God with what they're doing. All you have to do is open up your ears, look at around, and listen to what's being said, and then watch the people that come in here and give the testimonies of how they've been helped to help others. All right? You can see what's happening. All right? So, God, look, my wife told me this some years ago. She said, Ernest, you will give the very coat off of your back, your very last coat you will give it off of your back. And then you turn around and ask me for mine so you can give that away. All right. God knows your heart, you know, so he wants to put something in your hands so that you can take it and do some work for him. Amen. All right. Put it in his ground. All right. So that that ground can be plowed and grow. All right. Amen. So when we're talking about giving, do it freely. With paying your tithes, you don't have to worry about that. You know, he's already told you the 10%. And you've heard me say this, but I'm going to say it again. All right. You know, y'all the Marines, so I know you've heard it. All right. So I say it again. You know, go ahead and your 10%, God done told you what that is. All right. Go ahead and pay that. Go ahead and give it. Some people say that was in the Old Testament. I'm going to take some time to say this. Say that was in the Old Testament, paying your tithes. Yes, it was. But do you realize that tithing was before the Old Testament? Amen. It was before the Old Testament. And it is after the Old Testament. Because who do you pay your tithes to? To God. All right? Pay them to God. All right? And in the Old Testament, they took them to who? The priest. Who said that? Took them to the priest. Who's our priest now? New Testament. Jesus is the head of this body. And he is our priest. So when we pay our tithes, we say we're giving it unto the Lord. We're paying it unto who? Jesus. To me, it's simple. All right? And you say, how do you know that? By reading my Bible. Amen. And studying my Bible and asking God questions and say, Lord, give me some answers here. And he tells me to turn to this chapter, that chapter, and read these verses, and I'll see those. Then I listen to Christian broadcast, the ones that has a good reputation as far as the Lord is concerned. All right, I look at that. All right. So, okay. Then, I wouldn't intend to say all this, Pastor. All right, then when you get around to your offerings, Bible didn't tell you. Not that I know of. He didn't tell you how much to give, did he? Well, why don't you ask him then? Why don't you ask him? Lord, what should I give in the offering today? You're going to get sincere about it, and he's going to be sincere with you. He's going to tell you what to put in there. Now, you may hear two voices. Lord's going to tell you what to put in, and you're going to hear the enemy voice going to tell you what to put in, because he wants to cut your blessing. I heard a pastor say, if you hear two voices about what you should put in, go with a higher number. All righty. Okay. Now, but this is what I want to talk about today. Prayer. Communicating often with your Heavenly Father. Prayer. That's what I want to talk about today. Prayer. Next slide. All right. Making a difference in your life and the life of others with prayer. God said, or Jesus said, come unto me as a little child. Why did he say that? Because if a little child got faith, man, little child, if you tell them something, they believe you. Unless you taught them not to believe you, unless you taught them that you are not trustworthy. But if you haven't done that to them, they believe what you say. And that's exactly the way God wants us to come to him. As a little child, believe what he says. Believe that he'll do what he says he will do. Believe that he has already done for us what he said he has done for us. Believe. All right, next thing, next slide. All right, now we say, what is prayer? It's a two-way communication. You talking to God? God talking to you. Tonight, what I'm going to be, basically, there's many types of prayers, you know. But tonight, I'm going to be talking about the petition. Because usually we ask God a lot of stuff, you know, and ask Him for a lot of stuff. All right, so I'm going to be talking about that. All right, so it's a communication, all right. It's a communication between us and God, all right. So when we start praying, we need to also be listening. Now, years ago, someone told me that. And I said, okay, we'll be listening. Every time I pray, I don't hear nothing. So this time I will pray, and I'll stop, and I listen. I don't hear nothing. This ain't working. All right. But, you know, don't worry about hearing it. You just have your ear in tune to Him. So when He does speak, you hear Him. Now, you're going to have to work your way up because you might hear that voice, a little tiny one. And then you begin to recognize the voice. And then the more you're paying attention to the voice and being able to recognize voice, it gets louder to you. Then you get to the place where He speaks, you hear Him. But sometimes I still get tricked. I hear what He says, just like today. I went into Walmart, and the thought came to my mind, go do this. I said, no, I'm not going to do that. I don't have to go do that. When I got home, my wife says, did you do that? I said, no. The thought came to my mind, but I didn't do it. Guess who was talking to me? The Holy Spirit. I didn't take time to realize it was the Holy Spirit. I just thought it was a thought that just came to my mind. It was me thinking. And I didn't have to do that. And I did. Had I listened to the Holy Spirit, I'd have got a hug and a kiss. All right. But sometimes when the Holy Spirit's talking to you, you got to realize, pay attention, who's talking to me? Who's talking to me? Am I talking to myself? Is the Holy Spirit talking to me? Or is my enemy talking to me, Satan? All right. Now, you got to get to the place where you know who's talking. And then you listen to the Holy Spirit talking. You ignore Satan. Don't do nothing with him. And sometimes the Holy Spirit just have you talk to yourself, and then you evaluate that too. Is it right? Is it wrong? How do you know if it's right or wrong? You compare it to the Word of God. All right? Yep. All right. So, next frame. Oh, let me talk B. Prayer helps to build a relationship with God. Oh, let me go ahead and talk to you. To where you talk to God and you listen to God talk to you through the inward small voice. I gave you the example. And also to the Bible, through the Word of God. Sometimes you just sit down and start opening up the Word of God, and the Word of God will tell you, give the instruction about what you have a concern about. And it will instruct you. All right? All right, next frame. So we look at that prayer brings about change. Sometimes the things that change are your circumstances, your situations that you're praying about. You get victory over it by listening to the Holy Spirit, knowing what He says do. You get victory over it by reading your word and following the instructions of how to have the victory over that. And then sometimes it changes you. It changes you. I'm embarrassed to talk about this. My wife can clap her hand and say, yes, go ahead and tell it. All right. My wife bugs me sometimes. Forgive me, Lord. When it comes down to the computer, she always hollering, Ernest, help me, help me. I need some help. And I said, why don't you go sit down and get started, do what you can do. Well, she don't do it. She keep crying, help me, I need some help. So one night, she said that, and I said, won't you just sit at the computer and get started? And then I walked on out, going down to the room, and I started talking to the Lord. I said, if she would just go ahead and sit down, Lord, I would get over there and help her. He says, what you complaining about? You're doing the same thing toward me. I said, what? He said, you're asking me to do some things, but you won't do what you know to do. Come on. So I can come in and help you with the rest. I got humble right quick. I went back. She didn't know. I wouldn't tell her. She didn't know why I was smiling at her and all of that stuff. But let me tell you what happened. The next morning, she said, Ernest, I didn't say nothing to her about what the conversation between me and the Lord. Next morning, she said, Ernest, I'm going to do what you've been telling me to do. I'm going to go sit down at this computer, and I'm going to go ahead and get as far as I can. So I said, okay. I'm thinking, okay, that's the same old stuff. But the Lord had already told me. He told me what I had to do myself. He says, when she asks you sit down there in a good attitude, and you help your wife. So she came to me, and she says, Ernest, I got up. I done got as far as I can go. I just listened to what the Lord had to say. I went on in there. I sat down. But she said, pull the chair up. Pulled me, sat down beside her, and I helped her maneuver with a good attitude. No hard feelings about it. This is my wife. She wants my help. I'm helping. Lord, don't talk to me about this. I'm doing it. When we finished and it was successful, then she turned around and said some words to me that shocked me. I turned and I looked at her. I said, are you telling the truth? And she said, yes. They were good words, brother, sister. They were some good words, boy. I haven't heard her talk to me like that in a long time. It paid off. Just doing what the Lord said do. Amen. All right, so it changed me. I started off complaining to the Lord, but he quickly got me straight. He says, I told you what he said to me. You know, you're doing the same thing with me. I didn't think I did some stuff like that. All right, and I had to repent. And then he told me later on, how to treat her. I ain't telling none of that. And because I got changed, she changed. Without me saying anything. Brothers, without me saying anything. All right, let me move on. All right, next slide. Look, let's look at God's word that encourages us to pray. Psalms 91:15 says, he shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him. Let's go back and look at that. He, who's the he? Us, me and you. We shall call upon God, and God will answer us. All right? And he will be with us. Look, call upon him. He'll answer us. You know, how do you know that? How do you know he's going to answer us? You get in his word like this. He's telling you he'll answer you, right? So what you got to do? You got to believe the word, don't you? You got to believe that word. You got to believe it. You got to be like that little boy that was praying that when you saw that slide. You got to have the faith to believe that when you call on him, he's going to answer you. Now, if you do it with half unbelief, sometime he have mercy on you. You're young, starting out, and but he's going to teach you. Amen. Don't do that anymore. And you keep on doing it. After a while, you won't get any answers. Not that kind of answer that you're asking for. All right. He says, you shall call upon me, God, and I, God, will answer you. He said, I will be with you in trouble. Look at that. That's why a lot of times when you're going through trials and tribulations, don't get worried. Don't get down. You go to the Lord and you talk to him about it. Ask him for his directions, his instructions on how to handle those things. And when he does that, then you follow those instructions. And you come out victorious. I've had some experiences where I had to do that, and I had to listen to every word he said about it. And I learned to listen, because early on I got to the place I would do certain things, and he would start telling me, okay, I'm going to bring you out of this. And I start running my mouth, and then I said, Lord, why I didn't come out of this the way I wanted to come out of this. And finally one time, I talked to God. I was on a job, and I was out there, they were changing classes and stuff, and I'm out there just looking. And I just said, after they went on into the classroom, and I'm out there getting ready to go back to my office, I said, Lord, why didn't this happen? I talked to you about it. I know you would give me that answer, but why didn't it give me what I talked to you about? But why didn't it happen? And he said, you run your mouth too much. I said, what? Run your mouth too much. I said, run my mouth? Yes, and you're tying my hands by doing it. I said, whoa, I didn't know that. So I shut my mouth. It took a year, but I got what I was asking for. Then a few years later, same thing happened again. Not the same thing, but some other stuff happened again. I mean, big time stuff, man. It could really hurt a person. Could have really done some damage to me. But I went to the Lord for it. I said, Lord, I know you got this. You see it. I know you got it. And I'm depending on you to bring me through. He says, I got you. But you need to shut your mouth. You need to keep your mouth shut. I said, Lord, I know I learned that lesson. I'm going to shut my mouth. And I did. I shut my mouth. It took me a whole year. It took a whole year before I came through. But I came out on the other side victorious. But let me say this. When you're going through, don't be down. Don't be down. Be happy. Why? Because God's got you. He said, I'll be with you right there in trouble. He's got me. And I know I am victorious. I'm coming out on the other side with victory. Some of y'all looking at me like, what is he talking about? I've experienced it. Yeah, I've experienced it. He'll take you through it, bring you through victorious. So if your trust is in him, you're not going to be down. You're going to be happy. I had one lady met me one time, and she says, how can you be so happy with all this that's going against you? I just stopped, looked at her, and gave her a big, dumb, stupid smile. And she just walked out of my face. I didn't even know what she was talking about. And I didn't want to know what she was talking about. God was taking me through it. Jesus was taking me through it. Holy Spirit was leading, guiding, and directing me. And I'm doing what he said, taking me through it. All right. I want to talk about Isaiah 65:24. Because that's talking about when the new heavens and the new earth is coming. Next slide. Look. Matthew 7:7. Says, ask, and it will be given to you. Ask. We do a lot of asking, don't we? He said it'll be given to you. If it's not given to you, why? It's not his fault. Examine yourself. Ask him, why, Lord? What am I doing that's not right? What am I doing wrong? And then listen to him. He might direct you to a scripture. Or he might, through that little small voice, talk to you. Listen to him. He knows you. He knows you. You, his children, his spirit lives in you. He knows you. Listen to him. Let him guide you. Let him direct you. All right? He says, ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Many people just ask. Sometimes you see a person, they need something, and they say, I'm praying about it. I'm praying about it. I'm praying about it. What are you doing? I'm praying about it. What else are you doing? Waiting on God. Have you heard that? I'm waiting on God. God says, I've already done it for you. Now you believe me and go on out there and do what you need to do. All right? Get on out there and start knocking on some doors. Start seeking, asking, looking. See, looking for it, you know. It's there. He got it. You got to go find it. You got to go find it. I don't know if I told y'all about this. Our youngest daughter, when she was in college, she was looking for a summer job. And she had prayed to the Lord about it. She asked God for a summer job. And she wanted it in an area that she was studying. So she went into the shopping mall and went down to one of the department stores and went in there. And she wanted to start, that's, that they, she would get hired with her qualifications. The lady didn't even take her to the office to interview her, just right out in the open, and told her, no, we're not hiring. She knew they were hiring, but didn't know we're not hiring. Sometimes when you go to do something, you're looking for something, and you don't get it, thank God, because it ain't for you. It ain't what he has for you. Now, when she walked in that shopping mall, she said when she first went in, she paid a little small shop was drawn to her attention, but she walked on by it, went on down. So she left there, that department store, and went in some of the other areas, still a no. And she said, well, let me get on and go back home. As she's walking back out of the mall, again, that little shop drew her attention. And as she stopped and thought about it, she heard the Holy Spirit say, go in. She went in. She told him, she told the lady that was in there, I'm looking for a job. The lady says, really, I'm not hiring. And she says, I'll work for you for a couple of weeks for free. The lady said, okay, talk to her some more and everything. And she said, come on to work tomorrow. Now she went to work that next day, and that woman paid her for every day she worked. Not only that, after she worked for a couple of weeks, the lady said, I'm not going to be here. The shop's in your hands. Amen. And she went home. The husband would come in, open up the shop, come back, close up the shop. But she ran the shop and did good business. Amen. Lady was happy. Ask, seek, and knock. That's what she did. And follow the Holy Spirit. Suppose she had done like I did down in Walmart today. Suppose she looked and the Lord said, go in. And she said, no, that's a small shop. I know they ain't hiring. And went on about her business. Would she have gotten it? No. Ask, seek, knock, listen to the Holy Spirit, and follow the leading of the Lord. All right? All right. And he says, the doors will be open unto you. Next slide. John 16, 23 and 24. And in that day, you shall ask of me nothing. Truly, truly, I say unto you. This is Jesus when he's getting ready to go back, go to the cross. He's talking to his disciples. What he said, boys, I'm getting ready to leave you now. You know, while you've been with me, you haven't asked for anything. But I'm getting ready to leave you. So when you get ready to ask for some things now, don't ask me, all right? You ask my heavenly Father, God, but you do it in my name, and it shall be given unto you. All right? He says, the day you shall be doing nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, my Father will give it to you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall. That's a shall. Didn't say maybe, didn't say might, and you shall receive. Why? So your joy can be full. God wants us blessed. He wants us happy. He wants us in peace and comfort and joy. He wants us having more than enough so we can be a blessing to his kingdom. Next slide. All right. Now, somebody says, the will of God, if it's, I heard this a lot, and I know you have. They pray for healing if it's God's will. Well, the word of God is the will of God. The word of God is the will of God. So if you have a circumstance, situation, or whatever it is, or a request of God, and you want to know what the will of God is about it, go into the word. Get into your Bible. Study your Bible. Look in your Bible. Do research in your Bible. See what the Bible has to say about it. And then when you find out what the Bible has to say about it, stand on it. Let that be your foundation for what you believe in. Let that be the solid rock that you're standing on. Let that be what you're building your house upon. All right? You do that. And then when Satan comes along, you believe in for something, haven't come yet, but you know it's there, you have it by the Holy Spirit, and you know it's going to materialize in the natural realm, you're standing on it. Somebody walk up to you and say, how do you know that? Because God's word said so. Satan is sending somebody, or he just sent a thought. So you know that's not going to happen. Well, if you didn't know what the word had to say about it, you might listen to him. But since you know what the word has to say about it, you say, Satan, you liar. Here's what God said about that, and this is what I believe about it, and this is what I'm standing on. That's why I'm going to be successful in it. I am already successful in it. You just watch and see Satan. It's going to materialize right here in this world. He knows it. That's why he's trying to stop it. Y'all understand what I'm saying? All right. He says, 1 John 5:14, and this is the confidence that we have in God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. What's his will?
Word.
His word. All right. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever, doesn't matter what it is, what, as long as it's based upon the word, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desire of him. There again is a belief that is strongly a confidence. A belief that, that's why we got to be fully persuaded. If the word said so, that's it. That's it. That's the truth. And that's what I'm going to stand on. That's what I'm going to stand on. I don't care how long it takes. A month, a year, 2 years, 5 years. I'm standing on it. I'm standing on it. Somebody said, well, you've been standing on that for 5 years. I don't care. That's what God said. This is what I believe. I believe this with my whole heart. Then one day you see the breakthrough. All right? Next slide. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Y'all believe what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All right, okay. All right. All right. Look, I'm going to move on through this. I got 5 minutes. Fail-proof your prayers with faith. And we've been talking about faith all the time. You got to believe it. All right. Now, Matthew 21:22 says, and all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing you shall receive. It comes right back to that little boy praying in faith. All right. Believe it. You got to believe it. Yeah, just got to believe it. Just got to believe it. Wholeheartedly. All right, next slide. All right, Mark 11:24 said, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, again, what do you do?
Believe.
Believe, and you shall receive them. All right, when do you believe?
Word.
When do you believe?
When you're doing.
Right when you're praying. Right when you're praying. Right when you're praying. All right, he says, and in the natural world, you see it first before you believe it, don't we? You're naturally thinking, you'd be like Doubting Thomas. I don't believe it until I see it. That don't you? If you have that kind of attitude toward the word of God, you'll never get anything. Not from God. Satan will give you a lot.
There you go.
All right, but with God, you got to believe it first. Faith means a lot, doesn't it? Faith in the right thing. Faith in God and his word. Faith in the Holy Spirit. Next slide. All right. James 1:5-7 says, if any of you lack wisdom. Look, this is my example of praying and believing without doubting. Praying and believing without doubting. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and unbraideth not. What does unbraid mean? To criticize severely, find a fault with. See, if you lack wisdom, ask God for it, and he will not criticize you or find fault with you because you're asking him for it. What is he going to do? He's going to give it to you. All right? But let him ask in what?
Faith.
Come right back again. Faith. Nothing wavering. That means you're holding on to your faith. You're not being tossed to and fro like the sea. All right? You're holding on to your faith. You don't let doubt come in. You keep doubt out. You have faith 100% of the time. He said, if you start doubting, faith this minute, doubt next minute, faith this minute, he said, what happens? Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Next slide. All right. Look, we said no doubting. How should you ask for wisdom or anything else? In faith, in full assurance that you have what you say. If they do not ask in faith, what happens? Nothing. Why? Because they're only wishing and hoping.
Come on.
They ain't in faith. All right. Next slide. Jesus said unto him, if you can believe all things are, if you can believe. Look, this is the man that when Jesus was coming back, he saw a whole bunch of people, a crowd around the disciples. So he walked over to the crowd and says, what's going on? The boy that had the demon in him, the father of the boy that had the demon and said, your disciples are trying to cast the demon out of him, but they can't. And he turned to Jesus and said, if you can do anything, please do it. Jesus says, all things are possible to those who believe and doubt not in their hearts. All right, he looked unto him. He says, look, anybody, if you can believe, all things are possible to those who believe. He put it back in his court. You got to be doing the believing. All right? So we got to believe. All right? And then Jesus went on and cast it out of the boy. All right? Next slide. God's word is always true. All right? Prayer for fruit. I'm going to stop here. All right? I'm going to stop here. This has been a joy. This has been a joy. All right, Pastor Doug.
Wow, what a blessing. I told you, Teacher Ernest, praise God. He's a teacher of the word, very basic principles. Ain't anybody in here tonight that didn't get something about prayer? But most importantly, what we want to do when we close this service is, I don't know everybody in here, and you may be in here for the first time. And our vision is, you saw that in the very beginning when he was talking about coming to church, but that's to win people to Jesus Christ and see them disciple. And the first thing you got to do when you win people to Jesus Christ is you've got to receive him in your heart and believe that he is the Son of God. And that's as simple as it gets, that he lived on this earth, that he died on the cross, and that he rose from the dead. Thank you, Betsy. Praise God. Sorry about that, sis. And when I say those things, if you're in here tonight and you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, that's the most important thing you can do. It took me 38 years to do that. I'd only been in church a year.